fourth chapter. Here's a story that I'm sure that we've read many, many times. Matthew chapter 4. Let's stand together as we read God's word. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. When the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this morning. And Father, we thank you for the joy of knowing that our salvation is secure through the work of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that one day, Father, we will be in your presence. And what a glorious time that will be. But Father, we also realize that just as Jesus came to this earth with a mission, you have a mission for each and every one of us to fulfill as well. Father, you have a mission for the People's Bible Church. And Lord, it is our prayer that you will just work within our hearts and our lives to help us to fulfill that mission. We ask that as we open your word this morning, that you would give us understanding, that you would help us to apply that which we learn to our lives, to not only enhance our relationship with you, but Father, so that we might be found faithful in carrying out that mission until you call us home to be with you. Lord, we ask your Spirit to just guide and direct us now as we look into your word, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We just read in Matthew chapter 4 the account of when Jesus was taken into the desert by the devil to be tempted, and how Jesus responded in that particular circumstance. You know, on the official first day of Jesus' ministry, just prior to verse 4, or chapter 4, we see that he was baptized in the river of Jordan by John the Baptist. And then Jesus was immediately sent into the wilderness to spend 40 days fasting and praying. And there he was confronted by Satan. It is in this account that we learn that from day one, Jesus was completely prepared with everything that he would need to do what the Father had sent him to do. Guess what? If God the Father was able to prepare the Lord Jesus from day one, he too can prepare us, can't he? Many times we don't realize as we look around us and we see the needs that are faced by those we come into contact with each day, and we hear the challenges from God's word. Many times we feel so unprepared, but we must realize that God has prepared us. God the Father has already prepared us in exactly the same way he prepared God the Son. Let's take a moment before we look deeper into this topic of preparation and review what we talked about last week, because that is obviously the foundation that we're going to be looking at over these next 5 weeks. Last week, we introduced to you the fact that God has a plan for your life. I'm sure we've heard this over and over again, but the bottom line is, are we willing to follow God's plan for our life in its entirety? Or are we going to only try to pick bits and pieces? We looked at God's plan as consisting of 5 P's. First, preparation. For every trip, you need to be prepared with tools like a map, a GPS system, a spare tire, a first aid kit, among other things. Secondly, we looked at purpose. In order to complete the trip that you are taking, we need to follow the direction and obey the signs along the way. Thirdly is pain. There will be unexpected detours, but pain doesn't only have to hurt. Fourth, power. We have the authority, ability, and opportunity to do something great. Without the engine's power, we cannot go anywhere. And then fifthly, passion. Passion is our commitment to never quit until we have finished the journey that God has given us to take. It is critical that each one of us is aware and confident that God has made every preparation necessary for your successful journey. When I say successful, I mean that you will be able to do everything that God has assigned for your life. And that is one thing that is so important to remember too, because many times our definition of what success is may be different from what God's definition of success is. And that's why it is so important that we are in tune with what God has for us to do. And to realize that, again, if we will follow Him and obediently follow that which He challenges us to do in His Word, we will be able to be successful and complete the task that He has for us. Remember last week, the verse that was our key verse told us that Jesus said, if you believe in Him, you will do greater works than He. And what an exciting promise that is to us. And at the end of these next 5 weeks, I am hoping that we truly will be excited about that thought, that yes, we who may not feel we have the abilities or the talents or even the opportunities or the time to really accomplish anything significant for God, we are prepared and equipped to be accomplishing even greater things than the Lord Jesus did. And I hope that truly we are excited about that potential that is within us. You know, God made all the necessary preparations for each one of us to do something significant in our lives. Each and every one of us here has an opportunity to do something significant for the kingdom of God. We have been prepared with what I will call tools and weapons. Our key verse for today, and I encourage you to memorize it and to tuck it away, is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you catch that? Isn't it exciting to know that we're God's workmanship? We talked about that last week, that when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He began a work in us. Excuse me. He began a work in each and every one of our lives. And He is the one that will bring it to fruition if we will be willing to follow him and be obedient. He gives us tools. Tools are used to accomplish the things that God has called us to do. And he also has given us weapons. Weapons are used to fight the spiritual battle that we are in. Remember, Jesus would never challenge us to do something that he has not equipped us to do. God will never put us into any circumstance or any situation that we are not equipped to handle by his power, by his might. You know, as we look through the scriptures at the life of the Lord Jesus, we see that he was never at a loss for words. Jesus was never at a loss for power. He always had answers to the questions that he faced. He had the physical stamina to complete his job. He also had the people to partner with him in his ministry. And one thing that's so important is he never seemed to be in a rush. Why? Because Jesus was prepared in every way possible. And he relied on those preparations that had been made. This morning, because of time, we're going to look at two specific tools that God gives to us, and then we're going to look at a few more next week. But the first tool that God has given to each one of us is the Holy Spirit. On Jesus' first day on the job, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we just read that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. One thing that has always blessed me as I look at the life of Jesus is, again, how he was never on a power trip and had to try to convince people that, hey, I'm the Son of God. You know, I can do everything myself. That was not Jesus' attitude, was it? He relied on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He relied on the direction of the Heavenly Father. Jesus was willing to work with the other two personalities of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit was prepared to accompany Jesus every day of his 3 years in ministry. But you know, more importantly, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to empower us in our lives. I've given to you some verses in your outlines, and I encourage you either this afternoon or throughout the week to study these verses a little bit more in depth, to really pull out of them. This morning, I'm only going to touch upon them. Here are just a few ways that the ministry of the Holy Spirit can affect our lives. First of all, John chapter 15, verse 26 tells us that the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies within our hearts of who Jesus is and that Jesus is the Son of God whom he claimed to be. So the Holy Spirit gives testimony of Jesus. Secondly, in John chapter 16, verse 8, it says that he will convict us of sin. We've been talking Wednesday evenings again about the old nature and the new nature. And one thing that we realize is that in ourselves, in our own human flesh, we're not going to recognize sin, are we? But it is the Holy Spirit who brings to us the conviction of that sin, that we are living a life that is contrary to the Word of God. So because of the Holy Spirit, we can recognize the need that we have for a Savior. John 16, 13 says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. So not only does the Holy Spirit come alongside of us and show us that we have a problem, but he also shows us how we can deal with that problem. The Holy Spirit doesn't come say to us, look, your life is all messed up. You have separated yourself from God, so try to find your way back. That's not what the Holy Spirit does he? The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He shows us where we've fallen short. But then he is willing to guide us into the truth that will bring us back into a relationship with God. The sad part is that so many people try to do it on their own. And just like we can't get saved on our own apart from a relationship with God, we can't understand the truth apart from a relationship with the Holy Spirit, can we? For it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give us an understanding. So the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. Do you want to know what to do? Do you want to know how to handle things? Let the Holy Spirit guide you in His Word. Romans 8:26 shows us that He will help us in time of prayer. Have you ever been going through such a difficult time in your life and your heart has been breaking and you say, God, I just don't know how to pray? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit can help to give us the words to pray. And even if we can't come up with the right words, you know what? The Scriptures even tell us that the Holy Spirit groans for us before the Father in words that can't be spoken. The Holy Spirit is so in tune with us because He lives inside of us that He can communicate and put into words what we're feeling, even when we can't communicate it ourselves. So when we're in that desperate of a situation, He's the one that communicates and communes with God the Father for us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit will give us power. It says, but you shall have power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We read in the book of Acts, upon the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was first put down upon individuals, the power that they received because they were willing to walk with Him. You know, there's power available to each and every one of us today. The Bible tells us that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come upon us. But as we're going to see in just a few moments, we need to do a little bit more in order to be able to experience that power. But that power does come to us through the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells us that the Holy Spirit will raise us from the dead. What a glorious promise. Now, I've kind of thought of this in two ways. I know the way that it's meant in the Scripture is talking about the fact that when we physically die, that because of the finished work of Christ, we will be raised from the dead to live with God for all eternity. Amen? We'll be in His presence. We'll be raised from the dead. But I also thought of another application, and I know this isn't what was meant here, but it can apply to what we're talking about. You know, sometimes you can meet some Christians who may appear to already be dead. You know, you look at them and, Jesus loves me. I'm so excited. You know, people are just, there's no life. And I believe that as we get into God's Word, as we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and get into that personal relationship, He can take a person who appears to be dead and give them life. Why? Because He brings that joy within their hearts. And again, if we're not experiencing that joy in our hearts, then we need to look to God and say, okay, God, what's the matter? Because Bible tells us that even in the midst of trials and struggles and problems, there can still be a joy. So the Holy Spirit can raise us from the dead. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us. Have you ever felt weak? Boy, I know I have. I know there's times when I've been in certain projects and I've just physically just exhausted myself. And I just felt like I couldn't go on any further. But that doesn't only happen physically, but it can happen mentally as well too, doesn't it? And it happens many times as we're striving maybe to make an impact for God. I think of certain missionaries that have gone off into fields and they've just faced one obstacle after another. And they start getting discouraged. And maybe something happens to affect them. Maybe even a member of a family has been killed. How do you go on? It's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He gives us that strength to be able to press on, to go on, to not quit, to be able to press on for the prize of the high calling of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from inside. And that's one of the problems. If we're relying on ourselves, we don't have the stamina. We don't have the strength. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. So, again, briefly, I share these things with you, and I encourage you to dig into them more because they're going to be encouraging to you. And if somebody wants to, if you're interested, let me know. We might be able to dig into them more down the road, too, and do a study on Sunday mornings, digging more into these different promises. But this morning, I just wanted to show you this to help you to understand and to realize that God has prepared us with the Holy Spirit. So none of us are going it alone. God is not telling you, okay, John, look, there's something for you to do. Go! And when you're done, I'll be sitting over here waiting for you, and I'll be watching. No, he goes with us, doesn't he? And he prepares us, he gives us the strength, and the Holy Spirit is with us to help us to whatever task comes our way. But here's the key that we said that we were going to discuss. We're there now. We must yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us. We have that power available to us. But so many Christians are walking powerlessly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is very, very clear. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, getting drunk has never resulted in anything good happening, has it? Rather, it leads to bad things. How many lives have been ruined because of the ill effects of alcohol? How many marriages have been destroyed? Families broken up? Even lives lost because of the effects of alcohol? And so the scripture wisely tells us, do not get drunk on wine. Why allow yourself to be controlled with something that's only going to lead you to bad things? Rather, here's another option. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life, and good things will happen. Now, we just took a few moments a minute ago to look at some of those good things that can happen when we allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of our life. But this morning, I want to look at a couple key things that are important to us, again, to giving the Holy Spirit control of our life. Because this is where it is crucial. As you sit in that pew this morning, you can make a decision. You can say that, well, everything I heard sounds good, but, and come up with reasons that certain things do not apply to you. Or you can say, you know what? I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want God to take control and let me make a difference. I'm going to yield my control of my life over to God. And that's a big choice to make. And that's a choice that many Christians are not willing to make. They're willing to say, God, here's bits and pieces. But boy, we could talk all day of what it really means to allow God to take control of your whole life, to give him top priority. But here's a couple things that go along with allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control of our life. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. We must be willing to learn from the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26. It says, but the counselor, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So we see a promise there that as we are striving to learn how we can be all we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God does not leave us on our own to try to find it. We don't have to go on a treasure hunt and follow all these signs and symbols to lead us to the right place. It says the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to teach us. But the other part of that is we have to be willing to learn. You know, I can think about different times that I've tried to teach different people different things. I remember one time in particular, a salesperson that I was training in our company. And this salesperson who, I mean, there was an obvious problem. He wasn't selling. And as you can probably put two and two together, to be a salesperson, you're supposed to sell. It just kind of works together somehow, you know. But he wasn't doing it, you know. And as you try to come alongside of him and train him and show him some of the things that he was doing that was causing him to have the results that he wasn't listening because he already knew it all. If you talk to him, he could tell you everything about selling. But it wasn't working, so maybe there's a problem.
And it's the same way in our Christian life, isn't it? So many of us say, well, we know what it means to be a Christian. We've asked Jesus to be our Savior. But again, we're not walking with that power. We're not working with that joy. We're not working with that fruit that is said is supposed to come from the Holy Spirit. So what we have to do is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. And how do we do that? Obviously, by getting into God's Word, by praying and being open to God's leading in our lives. But we need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. We have to be teachable. We have to be willing that no matter how long we've been a Christian,
well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. There's nothing nobody can tell me.
We can never get to that point, can we? Because there's always more we can learn about God's Word. We have to be teachable. But not only teachable, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Not only do we have to be teachable, but we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14 goes on to say, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we are to be led. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a child of God, then we are to be willing to be led. The Holy Spirit is going to try to lead us. We have to be willing to follow Him. And sometimes He may try to lead us in a direction we don't want to go. But you know what the exciting thing is? We find that He really does know what's best for us, doesn't He? And if we're willing to follow Him, we're going to be excited about where He takes us to. Look with me, if you would, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. As we allow ourselves to learn from the Holy Spirit, as we begin to follow Him and allow Him to lead us, the exciting things is that naturally our lives are going to be changed. It's going to happen. Our lives are going to be changed. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25 tells us that the Holy Spirit produces fruit in the life of a believer. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So again, what it's saying is that when we allow ourselves to be controlled, to be led, to be taught by the Holy Spirit, changes are going to take place. Let me ask you this morning, and you don't have to respond verbally, but can you say, as you look at that fruit of the Spirit, that your life gives 100% representation that you always respond in these ways? Chances are none of us are 100%. So that means we still have some work that God has to do on us. But remember, we are whose workmanship? God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, right? So as we strive to make these changes in our lives, we don't have to rely upon ourselves because God's doing the work. The Holy Spirit's doing the work in our lives. Quickly, I want to talk about a second tool. And we don't need to spend a lot of time on this tool because I'm sure we're all very familiar about its importance. But the second tool is the Bible, the Word of God. They say probably every home in America has a Bible on its shelves. Many homes have 3, 4, 5. The question is, how much are they getting used? And how are they being used? As we talk about preparations, it's not by chance that this Bible is here on this earth, is it? The Bible tells us that this word is God-breathed. God gave it to us, didn't He? Why did God give it to us? God prepared the Bible for us to use. He didn't prepare it to be a paperweight. He didn't prepare it to, even though you can get some pretty nice leather-bound ones that really look sharp, He didn't put them in there to look nice on a shelf to brighten up our living rooms. He gave them to us to be used. As a matter of fact, as we look at our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 4 today, the temptation of the Lord Jesus, every time the devil tempted Jesus, what was his response? It is written. So the Lord Jesus himself recognized the power of the Word of God. And he said, it is written. God's Word is the basis of everything. As we briefly just look through the scriptures, we see that often Jesus said that the Old Testament, the law and the prophets spoke of him. So the scriptures give testimony of who Jesus was. We also see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that Jesus said that he came to fulfill the word or to validate its truth. So the word talked about the coming of Jesus, and Jesus came to also validate and give proof that this word is truth, that this is God's word. We see that Jesus quoted the Bible many, many times. A couple quick examples are in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus quoted about the Bible when he taught about murder. In Matthew 5, 27, when he talked about adultery. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, he quoted the Bible about the important or what it meant to take oaths and why or why not we shouldn't. He talked about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 and chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, the importance of loving one another and loving God. Jesus always used the scripture in his teachings. If the Bible was not in place and to be trusted, Jesus would not have accepted it or approved it, would he? He would not have used it as an accepted and approved basis of truth from which himself to teach from. Look with me quickly, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We see that God's word is just that, God's word. The Bible is God's own word, and it is profitable for us. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're talking about preparations. So how does God prepare us? It says right here that we may be thoroughly equipped or prepared for every good work through the scripture, which is good. And basically, it's summarizing for every area of our life. If you were to ask any Christian today, do you believe this is God's word? They say, amen. Do you believe 2 Timothy 3:16 that it's profitable for a whole list of things, that it's good for us? Sure, I do. All right. But you know what they say? Actions speak louder than words. Do our lives truly testify that we believe that it is through the word of God that our lives are going to be able to be changed? Do we really believe in the power of the word? The bottom line is, along with the Great Commission, God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's God's challenge to us. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You know, one common statement is, well, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I'd like to suggest that each one of us does have the time. We have to make the time. Because if we don't make the time, we can't receive the benefits of God's word, can we? And we can't experience the preparations that God has made for us to do something great for him and for his kingdom. You know, there's many ways that you can listen to the word of God. We had a clip, and we're going to pass over it, Sandy, so you know, because of time. But there's a lot of ways that you can study the word of God, and we're going to introduce one of them to you this morning. And I've got a gift for each person who's here. But the key is, I want to encourage you to use what we're about to hand out, because this is going to be vital. How does listening to the word of God affect your life? If we can, we're going to take just a couple minutes and show this second clip. Can we get to that one? Just listen to these couple testimonies, and then we're going to be done for the day.
Every time I've turned on my listening program, whether it's been the Bible Stick or whether listening on MP3 format, I always tell myself, you're not listening, you're hearing. And this hearing has to translate into something that's going to really hit home in your heart. For me, it's just been amazing. I've stopped the Bible Stick, I've stopped MP3, I've even run over, grabbed a Bible and said, I didn't know that was in there. I've never heard that before. I'd look at it and say, it's there, it's there. This is absolutely unbelievable.
I'm not only asked how the audio Bible affects me, but I want to tell you how it's affected members of my congregation. Some of the younger people now are always saying that they have problems reading or they don't like to read. Now as a pastor, I have an option. I have some alternatives for them. And now I have more people reading the Bible by listening than they are by reading the text. And I know a lot of people have a hard time transferring from the text to audio Bible. But let me tell you, that audio Bible is just as powerful and is helping many of my young people.
Listening to the Bible has just made it come alive for me. I love reading the Bible, but when I also listen to it, I just get more detail. I get more out of it, especially with the dramatization and listening to the various voices. It's just made a huge difference to really get a thorough understanding of what God's Word is saying to me.
The audio scriptures really have been significant for my life and for my wife's. In the evening, we gather together, the two of us open up the scriptures. We listen to the audio scriptures through the DVD on our home entertainment center and turn our entertainment center into a worship center and have a time of devotion together. It has really added value to our devotion time.
Recently, God's really been doing a whole lot of work in my life, and it's been a lot of deep stuff going on inside that at times has kind of turned into turmoil. And I was praying, God, just give me peace somehow. I just need something to get these thoughts out of my mind and to get my thoughts focused on you again. And one day as I was about to leave, I was thinking, what am I going to listen to in my car? And I thought the audio Bible.
I always tell myself, you're not listening, you're hearing.
But let me tell you, that audio Bible is just as powerful and is helping many of my young people.
Listening to the Bible has just made it come alive for me.
It has really added value to our devotion time.
And I felt such peace at the end of the day, and I felt such peace since.
What we're going to do in just a moment is hand out to you a CD that has the New Testament, the whole New Testament on in an MP3 format. One thing let me encourage is that if you have a regular time in God's Word, I'm not trying to encourage you to put the Bible down and start listening to CDs. But if you're finding for some reason it's difficult to discipline yourself to sit down and read the Scripture, you're not finding time, let me encourage you to try using the CDs and listen to them. There are testimonies after testimonies of lives that have been changed because they have gotten into God's Word. And if we haven't for 20 years been able to discipline ourselves to sit down and read it, let's start by listening to it. Many cars today, the newer cars, are equipped to be able to play MP3s. If you can't play MP3s, there is a way to get these on regular disc, and I can tell you, if you need to see me individually. They also make little discs that are portable MP3 players that you can take with you so you can listen to the Word of God. What we're just trying to do is to encourage you to get into the Word of God daily. And actually, if you spend 28 minutes a day, which is very simple, if you just say, okay, 10 o'clock every night before I go to bed, I'm going to listen to today's segment of the Scriptures. 28 minutes a day, you can listen to the whole New Testament in just 40 days. And there may be things that come out that you've never heard before. But what I would really be encouraged to do is, again, challenge each and every one to make a point that you're going to listen to these CDs or even just read the Scriptures for 28 minutes a day so that 40 days from now we can all have read the New Testament or heard the New Testament. And maybe share some testimonies along the way of what God is teaching us through this particular process. But to close this morning, let me just ask you a couple quick questions. Are you trusting in and relying on God's preparations in your life? Or are you trying to do things yourself? Are you trying to do something for God using your own resources? Or are you using His preparations for you? Are you trying to use God's resources without faith? We're going to talk about that next week, the importance of faith in our life. When life is difficult, we need to read the Bible for encouragement. We need to pray and strength for power. We need to seek godly counsel. We need to look to the Lord. Maybe the first step is trusting God's preparations. And what we need to do in order to truly trust them is to deny our reliance on our own resources. We need to realize that, yes, God may have given us money. God may have given us intelligence. God may have given us relationships. But those in themselves fail when it comes to making a difference for God. But God will never fail. Amen? Prayer never fails to reach God's ear. The question is, does his voice reach yours? And again, we're going to be talking some more about prayer next week. Remember, God's word never returns void. I encourage each one to decide today that you will rely only on his preparations by surrendering control of your resources to him. Let us bow together in prayer, shall we? Again, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just give you a moment to reflect upon what we've talked about this morning. Are you willing to totally, completely, 100% trust God this morning? Are you willing to say, yes, God, I am going to trust your preparations? God, I want you to help me to get more into the Bible. I want you to help me more to rely on the Holy Spirit. If you do, would you just pray a simple prayer like this with me? Just say, dear God, I cannot fulfill your plan in my life with the resources I have. So I submit my life to you now. And I surrender my preparations to you. Replace my dependence on my resources with a desire to trust in your preparations. Oh, Father, we do thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the example that his life has been to each and every one of us. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us so that we can become all that you have designed us to be. And we thank you that you have given us your word in written format, that, Father, you can communicate to us your truth. And, Lord, help each one of us to spend the time each day that we need to listening to that word, to reading that word, so that we can allow your word to cleanse us. And that we can, Lord, just listen to what you have to say to us. And, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you.